You're listening to an ESA podcast brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. ESA, promoting the science of ecology.
I'm Christine Buckley, and this is Field Talk, a podcast produced by the Ecological Society of America. In Field Talk, we explore the work of authors whose papers have been published in the Society's journals, Ecology, Ecological Applications, and Ecological Monographs. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Tracy Langkilde, an assistant professor of biology at Penn State University. Her research in the January issue of Ecology reports a novel anti-predator response in eastern fence lizards to attacks by red fire ants, an invasive species in the American Southeast. She reports that this adaptation is evidence of rapid evolution in these lizards. Dr. Langkilde, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Christine.
So what got you started studying eastern fence lizards?
So I did my PhD in Australia looking at interactions between different species, looking at these really psychotic, aggressive lizards that all manage to live in apparent harmony in the same location. And I was really interested in whether animals can evolve strategies to live in coexistence like this. The one hard thing about doing this within kind of natural systems is that you can't get in a time machine and go back in time and see what it was like when these animals first came together. So it'd be really interesting to see whether they beat each other up and there was huge effects when they first came in together, but then this changed over time so that they managed to get along quite well. So I was trying to find a system where I could do this, and fire ants is a perfect example because they're a huge pest. People report them every time they see them because they want to. They're really obvious and really noticeable. And so we've got this great record of the rate and route of spread of fire ants. So we can go to a particular county and say, we know that fire ants have been here for 68 years. And so this allowed me to go to these different places and see how native species react to fire ants, depending on how long they've been in contact with them for. So it was only during our first trials down there that we started noticing that fire ants and lizards came into contact with one another quite often.
Do they prefer attacking lizards rather than other terrestrial animals, or do we know that?
We don't really know that. We don't even really know why they attack lizards. They've got really strong mound defense. So anybody that lives or has come across fire ants will know this. If you ever step on a fire ant mound, you'll get swarmed really quickly. Right. And even if you stamp your foot just next to them, you'll get swarmed. So part of it's mound defense. But we also noticed during this study that lizards that are even 5 meters away from a mound will get attacked. Ants will be wandering past and make a beeline straight to the lizard and jump on it and start attacking it.
So does it seem to you as though this isn't necessarily just defense, but it could also be foraging?
Yeah, so the fact that fire ants will attack lizards away from the mound as well suggests that it's not all mound defense. Mm-hmm. And we know that protein is really important for fire ants, particularly for their brood. And we know that they rely a lot on insects, insect protein, to supply this. But it looks like potentially vertebrates can provide a good source of protein for fire ants as well.
So what do the ants do when they attack a lizard?
So at first we thought that lizards would be quite well defended from ants because they've got these really hard scales that protect them from, or at least I thought, protect them from their stings. But what the fire ants do is really quite impressive. They'll crawl around the lizard's body until they find a good attachment point. And then they'll grab onto, for example, the edge of a scale and then use their abdomen to pry it up so that they can dig in between the scales to get to the soft skin, and they'll sting in the soft skin between the scales.
Sounds like a science fiction novel.
Really?
When ants swarm lizards, are we talking dozens or hundreds of them swarming one lizard at a time?
On the mound, the ants recruit really quickly. So we found that lizards that encounter ants on the mound and don't respond at all, the number of ants attacking the lizard will almost double within a 1 second period. 12 ants can kill an adult lizard, which is about 3 inches big, within a minute, but they definitely can get swarmed by 50 ants easily.
You found that they have this interesting twitching or shuddering behavior that happens. Can you describe what the lizards do to try to get rid of the ants?
So they do pretty much what we would do. They shake the ants off, doing this big body shimmy, and then they run away from the mound so that they can't get attacked by more ants.
Is this effective?
Yeah, it's really effective. So for both the body twitches and the fleeing, every time a lizard does this, they remove about 60% of the attacking ants. And these things only take about a second to do, so it's really quite effective. I think behavior is just cheaper and easier to modify than physiological things like immune function. So if you can just survive by twitching and running away, then that may be a much better way to go than having to develop these expensive immune responses. So the one pattern that we found was that lizards that had longer legs could remove more ants when they did these body shakes and ran away. We're not exactly sure of the mechanism. We're hoping to look into that with some high-speed video because these behaviors are so quick, it's hard to see exactly what's going on. But it seems like long legs just give increased leverage, so it allows animals, allows these lizards to do more exaggerated body twitches, and it allows them to accelerate more quickly. So I think that they can just do more vigorous twitches and flees, which will allow them to shake off greater numbers of ants.
Do you think that this is something that is genetically based or is more plastic based on the environment that the lizards grow up in because there are ants all around them?
We're not actually sure. So one of the surprises of this research was that we tested this behavior with babies,
right,
and we found that all baby lizards responded to fire ants. And so this was really curious to us because it means that babies from populations that have never encountered fire ants will respond to ants.
When they're responding, are they doing the shuddering behavior?
Yeah, so they're doing the shuddering behavior and they're running away every time they get attacked by a fire ant. And so what we think is going on is that lizards that will shudder and run from fire ants will also shudder and run from native ants.
Mm.
And we know that because babies are so small and have such soft skin, they're vulnerable to these native ants. And so we think that what it is that this body twitch or shudder and flee is a baby behavior that babies develop to survive normal ants, normal native ants, and that in natural populations, adults lose this because they're not vulnerable to native ants anymore. But once fire ants move in, they're a threat to lizards no matter what their age. So within these invaded populations, adults are hanging on to this baby behavior to be able to survive these venomous fire ants. It seems like lizards have two strategies to deal with fire ants. The first is to sit there, close their eyes, and do nothing and hope they go away. That's not a very effective strategy, but it's the one that is used most often in areas that have not been invaded by fire ants. The other strategy is this body twitch and running away, and that's used more and more often the longer lizards have been exposed to fire ants for.
Are the lizards perching or living in different places to try to stay away from the ants?
That's a really good question. That was one of the first things that I looked at because I thought that if you were getting attacked by ants all the time, the best thing to do was to move in areas where fire ants weren't as common. So I measured the habitat use of lizards in areas with and without fire ants and found that it didn't change at all. They didn't perch any higher off the ground to try and escape them. They didn't sit further away from mounds the longer fire ants had been around. And I think that it's just because fire ants and lizards have very similar requirements. They both rely on the sun's heat to warm them. Lizards, to avoid fire ants, they'd have to move into cold, dark forests, which would have lots of negative effects on them.
Do they eat the fire ants?
They do eat the fire ants. So they eat the fire ants as they're attacking them, but when we release babies in the field, they also run around eating fire ants. Mm-hmm. And they look like tasty snacks, but if a lizard eats too many fire ants, they can also die because the ants will sting them on the tongue and the mouth, and so they get envenomated the same as they would if they were just getting attacked by the ants.
So what do you think is the most important take-home message from your work, and where do you think that this is going to go next?
So I think that this research addresses two really important things. It's contributing to some really excellent studies lately that are showing that native species can evolve in response to invaders. So back in the day, we thought that evolution was this really slow process, and we're starting to realize that that's not necessarily true, and that native species can respond to invasive species over a relatively short time period. This has management implications because it means that we really need to consider how native species can change if we're going to manage them. And so we really need to understand how they're changing and make sure that we preserve a big enough population to have enough genetic diversity that they can respond. The most exciting thing for me about science research is it's kind of like being an explorer. I can imagine back to the days where you were the first person that ever discovered that this landmass existed or this enormous mountain existed. So it's kind of like that. We can go out and we can discover things that no one's ever discovered before. So we can be the first person to ever know that something's happening, and I think that that's really cool.
That was Dr. Tracy Lenkilde, Assistant Professor of Biology at Penn State University. I'm Christine Buckley. Thanks for listening to Field Talk.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Ecological Society of America. Music was provided by Dr. Nicholas Gatelli. For a link to Dr. Gatelli's homepage, more information about ESA, or additional podcasts, please visit www.esa.org. Thanks for listening.